Hope Church South Bedfordshire has had a group of people meeting each weekday morning to look at God's word and what it means for us. We hope you join us on this journey, and as you do so, ask God to speak to your heart as well. Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Our desire is we find God's abundant life for each one of us. Good morning and welcome to our podcast this morning. This morning we are looking at Luke 8 verse 16 to 25, and Bob's going to pray for us and then David's going to read for us.
Dear Lord, we thank you that we can come again this morning to feed on your word, to learn from you and to be inspired by your spirit as we study this passage. Pray that you'll speak to us. You'll show us things that we need to see. Open our eyes, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, Luke chapter 8, starting from verse 16 through to 25. No one, when his little lamp covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, and that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has, what he seems to have, will be taken away. Then his mother and brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered and said to them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out, but as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him."
Amen. Thank you both. Yeah, exciting passage today. So it starts off, and we need to just remember where we came from yesterday. Yesterday, we were looking at the parable of the sower and the seed falling on good soil that produces a hundredfold, 60, a hundredfold, what was in it to start with. It multiplies, it grows, it's expansive. And here we have another illustration of Jesus. He's using a parable to show what his teaching's like. Wherever his teaching goes, it brings light. And it's not something to be covered up. His light will pierce through all kinds of things around it. Light shows us what the darkness hides. It brings a revelation of that. And he's saying that actually the kingdom of God is like light. It comes and shows things how they are. And there's going to be no way of hiding it. It happens. And the secrets that are hidden will be revealed. You find this other bit almost coming back to the parable of the sower when Jesus' family arrive and they say, your brothers and sisters are here. You need to give them attention. And he goes, well, actually, anyone who does the will of the Father is my brother, sister, and so on, or my relatives. It's kind of saying that good seed that falls in the good soil are not just a good seed that results, but they are family. And there's some deep things being inferred here we might have a look at in our conversation. And then we move on to Jesus in the boat. sleeping in the middle of a storm. I don't know what storms we go through in life, but sometimes it does feel like Jesus is asleep in the boat, and we kind of forget that he said, go over to the other side, and his command wasn't to go halfway across and sink. So there's a few things going on there. I'm going to just hop out the way and let our conversation continue.
I think the first part speaks to me that we shouldn't be secret Christians. We have the light. And we should display the light. We should put it on a stand so that people around can hear the gospel, hear the good news, see Jesus in our lives. It's quite a responsibility to represent Jesus, isn't it? But that's what I think this first part is calling us to do, not hide our light under a bushel, as we say. That's quite a challenge, I think.
I guess when we stand out as a Christian, like if you go into a meeting and you say, look, I'm a Christian, this is my point of view. There's a lot of people going, oh, no, you know, or whatever. And actually, then you can't sort of muck around, because you realize you've actually stepped out, put your head above the parapet, and you're actually in the running of things. You need to be representative of what you believe. And so our society tends to hide where it's coming from. You get all this political slipperiness that goes around. But actually, when we speak up, when we're part of things, when we work into things where God's given us authority and given us areas to move, we can do that quite well and represent him. And the light we bring is quite powerful. I remember sitting in a council meeting, and they were looking at how the council takes care of religious viewpoints, and all of their criteria was external. It was if someone's wearing a cross, or someone's doing this, or someone wears this kind of clothing, or appears this kind of way, they might have a religious viewpoint, and we need to take that into consideration. Mustn't be biased against them, and all those kind of things. And I was saying, well, people from my church might not have a cross blazoned on their chest. You know what I mean? You wouldn't notice. But if you came to lying for the council, you might find they might not want to do that. Where does your provision allow for that? And they all got in a kerfuffle. And then the head of HR at the time that I was chatting said, Christians need to be more bold in saying they are Christians in the workplace. We can then, as HR, work with that quite well. It's where it's a hidden thing and it suddenly sparks up that it's a bit of an issue. And then later, a high-ranking person in the council came up to me, and I joked and said, you know, there were certain areas of the council where lying was a bit stronger than others, in my opinion, and my experience in Sheffield and other places. And she said, I'm not religious. My dad was atheist. My mom was Catholic. But actually, I hate lying. And it interferes with my belief system. And maybe I need to be more upfront with that. And I thought, wow. You know. And so when you shine a little bit of light, you have no idea of the impact. And some of the best stories you've got, you can't really tell because they are other people's stories. But there's things where God's light just sheds the light into situations. And you think a dark situation, like how a council deals with religion, actually can become a place where God's light shines deep into people's hearts and challenges them.
It just reminded me of Leslie singing in open mic nights in pubs and places like that, where she sang some of her songs that she wrote when as we go through our Christian walk. So they're Christian songs, and you're singing them in, and we perceive the people to be anti-Christian, but actually they're not. Everybody appreciates it, and a number of people came up and thanked Leslie for singing and the message that it brought. So we shouldn't actually judge the soil that we're casting seed into, if I can mix the metaphors. Because quite often it's a surprising people really are actually eager to, well, a lot of people are actually eager to learn the truth and to get the freedom. And I think there's evidence today that more and more people are actually moving in that direction. So we shouldn't be afraid to stand up and be Christians as well as speak the word.
Yeah, just one more example, because there's loads of them. But we had someone in our church years ago who took an extra job in a pub to try and earn some extra pennies. They were doing two jobs. And the pub did a promotion for Halloween and wanted all the staff dressed as witches and warlocks and things like that. And she goes, "I'm a Christian. I don't want to do that." And she talked to the pub landlord and chatted things through. And he said, "Well, you could be an angel." And so she dressed as an angel for the night and went round. And soon after that, that pub landlord gave his life to Jesus and became part of our church for a while. And you sort of think, wow, you know, that little bit of light into situations makes a big difference.
It's hearing God as well point you in the right direction and to say the right things.
I think the key problem for us as Christians is we've got used to hiding in our churches and not bringing what we believe into the wider world around us personally. We like to do it conceptually, but to do it personally where there's personal risk is something we sometimes shy away from. And I think that's the issue. You know, we like to, concept-wise, we hate what's happening in society. We'll criticize it in our churches, but actually being part of society and bringing light into darkness is something I think we need to be better at, especially in these days.
Because a lot of it is being concerned about ourselves and what people might think of us.
Yesterday, I went to get my tire repaired, and I found that it was the valve that went, and a garage employee fitted a new valve. They said they can't charge for the valve, and he wouldn't charge for his labor, and they fixed my tire for free. But he had some health issues. I got to pray with him in his reception of his carriage, because I just felt I can't leave without having done something for these guys. They've been so kind to me. And I just said, "Could I pray with you?" And it was just a beautiful thing. I don't know the results of it, but definitely, you know, it was really interesting. I'm thinking, how on earth would anyone pray for that guy? I don't know what his life's like. I don't know who he mixes with. But there's some of those things where we just need to, it was a prompting of the Holy Spirit. And you've got to keep that fresh, and you've got to act on it quickly and go for it and risk how daft you may look standing in the reception of a garage with your hand on someone's shoulder praying for them, where you don't know where they stand faith-wise. It's a bit weird. I might pop back into some donuts today, but just for me, it's good to feel that fresh edge. It's good to be on that fresh edge, stepping out into some of those things.
And you never know what seeds you're sowing, even if the response then is negative. Down the line, that what you said can actually come to fruition in somebody's mind and change their whole lives.
Mm. And, shall we move on to Jesus and his family? I had some cousins. I have some cousins. I've got loads of cousins. And then they're all having families. So we're just part of like a whole clan of people. But one of them used to call his mom mother. And when she goes, "You can just call me mom," he goes, "Oh, no, Jesus called his mother mother." So, and he used that as the basis of his argument. But here we find Jesus' mother and brothers and sisters. And we see that obviously Joseph and Mary had more family than just Jesus, just saying that. It's quite obvious here from the Bible that that is the case. And they come to see him, and surely family gets top ranking. And what Jesus is saying, actually obedience to God gets top ranking. I think there's some interesting aspects to this.
Yeah, as I read this, it sort of came to me that Jesus is not rejecting his mother and brothers. He's just saying, but he answered them and said to them, my mother and my brothers are also those who hear the word of God and do it. It's a sort of an inclusion that actually I am feeling it. I am as close to people who hear the word of God and do it as I am to my my earthly mother and father. In fact, probably more so. And I think in the King James Version, it says that and could not approach him because of the press. And I can remember being at school and reading that and think, oh, press was available around in those days as well.
Yeah, it was the Bush Telegraph, wasn't it? Shall we move on to the boat?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With Jesus in the boat, we can smile at the storm, as the song says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because it just brings to me the humanity of Jesus as well as his deity, because he must have been really tired of his ministry, not tired of his ministry, but tired because of the work that he was doing, and he'd fallen deeply asleep, and was woken up by. I mean, if I was soaked in the middle of the night, I would wake up, I should think, but he was so deeply asleep because it just sort of brings to me that Jesus was also human as well as as God. And he had the same, he went through the same things that we go through. He got tired, we get tired, and then they wake him up. And as you said in the introduction, Jesus said, let's go to the other side, not halfway over and sink. That's why they say, where's your faith? It's interesting. I was in Galilee quite sort of a few years back, and they have this wind that comes down in the middle of the night, a katabatic, I think it's called, or is it an anabatic? I forget now. But it's during the day the air, because it's warm, rises up, and then up on Mount Heron it cools down at night, so it becomes heavier. And then it comes down the side of the mountain, and then across the Sea of Galilee. So this storm that comes, this high wind, is one that's quite regular. So maybe Jesus knew that it was actually coming anyhow. So he was resting in the way that he knew that he was going to get to the other side anyhow. But it must have been quite a shock to the. To the disciples, for him to stand up and say, "Be calm." Mm-hmm. I can remember the Isle of Man once, many, many years ago. We had a mission tent outreach in Ramsey, and the skies were black, and the forecast was for it to be absolutely bucketing down, which it does on the Isle of Man. And we prayed. And that evening, there was a circle of blue sky over Ramsey, and it didn't rain at all on the tent. And it's interesting how the at times God can actually control the weather. There are times he doesn't do it all the time, but he can do it. But the enemy can also do it as well. But it's interesting because the power to actually bring about God's purpose is amazing. We can do immeasurably abundantly more than what we can ask or think, according to the power that's at work within us. We shouldn't be surprised at what God can do.
Just incidentally, those wondering about the anabatic wind and the katabatic wind, the anabatic wind flows from a cooler surface towards from the sea towards a cooler surface, towards a warmer surface, and the katabatic is from a cooler landmass to the sea, which is warmer. And so it probably depended on time of year, which one it was. I'm guessing, David, I don't know. I'm not as nautical as others.
It's generally the night, because during the day, the air warms up and goes up. Then it cools down up at the top of the mountain, then hurtles down the hill and across the lake.
Yeah, the wonders of Google in the middle of a Bible study. But looking at this, I remember hearing John Wimber speak on this passage. And John Wimber started the Vineyard movement and so on. And he saw this as a spiritual battle on the way to a miracle.
Mm.
And actually, there was superstition to do with winds and some of the forces that would hit the seas at those times as well. And I've seen that in commentaries. So it's not just John Wimber. It's other settings I've read that in. And so it almost like... this almost is a spiritual battle of faith before they get to see a deliverance, incredible deliverance, which we're going to look at on Monday. Spoiler alert. But there's some of these things going on. And I think sometimes when we're on the way to something, we do get buffeted by things. Mm. It does test our faith and where we are with Jesus. And the fact that Jesus is in our boat doesn't seem as strong as the winds sometimes and the waves and those kind of things. And actually, it's that assurance he's with us, and he just speaks to him, be calm. And it is. And you sort of think that kind of power of Jesus have, you know, day to day, we've got Jesus with us. We're not always aware of it. We meet all kinds of situations that make us fraught, make us angry, make us concerned, make us, you know, a bit tetchy or whatever. But actually, in all of that, it's remembering Jesus is with us, and he can calm the storm. And these guys were not lightweight sailors. Their boat's filling with water. They know that's not a good thing in that situation. That's why they're worried. The boat's filling with water, and Jesus is sleeping in the midst of the water and everything else. So there are the genuine concerns. But the fact that Jesus is in the boat is significant.
I think we're more inclined, well, I'm personally more inclined to be aware that Jesus is in the boat with me when I am going through some sort of difficulty or storm. I think the danger is when life is calm and peaceful and we don't have any particular troubles to deal with, that we can forget that Jesus is with us, and we can rely on our own resources and think, perhaps become proud, you know, aren't we doing well on our own? And then suddenly life takes a turn for the worse. And then I think personally that's the time when I realize that Jesus is with me, because I need him. It opens my mind, opens my eyes, stirs my faith, I suppose, going through difficult times, that I do depend on Jesus. I need him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When I first became Christian, the first verse that was actually given to me was, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And it's always sort of stuck in my mind every time I meet difficulties, that I'm to meet it with joy. Sometimes that's very difficult, though.
Also thinking that our difficulties and our problems, they are to us, but they're not to God. And that's not how he sees them, because he's over them and he's with us in it. Mm. So I think sometimes it's our mindset. We have to lift our minds to know that God is with us in a certain situation, and he's for us, he's not against us, and he's with us. And so often, you know, in Christian circles, I think sometimes it can be, you know, sometimes there's another battle, but God doesn't see it like that always. And, you know, we can get this mindset and we can lose the goodness of God by concentrating on the battles. And that's not how it is, because he's over our battles. And, you know, if we hang on to him, sorry, I'm getting quite emotional at the moment. But God's there with us, and he wants to be with us in those situations to lift us and to show us who he is, to show us his greatness, his goodness, his power when we feel inadequate, and the power of him. And that is the time, you know, in our weakness, and we see, Lord, no, you're so strong, Lord, and you make me strong in those difficulties when I can't, or we feel everything's against us, because God is above those everything that we feel is against us. And I think that how we keep our focus and our look, and then if we see a storm, it's not like that. A storm is for God to prove who he is. And I think that's maybe a mindset that sometimes we need to raise our gaze to him and see he is in control over all these things, and he has the ultimate control. He had the ultimate control over the winds and the waves and the weather, and the disciples hadn't seen it. And they're saying, who is this? He commands the winds and the water, and they obey him. So he was showing them again of his authority over this situation. And I think that's sometimes we need to be, when we're going through things, we need to be tucked under his wing, as it were, tucked under Jesus. And I feel Jesus says, let me show you.
So the challenge is running through these passages, just looking at it. The challenge is to be good soil, that his word goes into, we respond to well, and it produces a crop far beyond what we initially, the seed multiplies in our lives. So if we follow Jesus, we're going to have multiplication in our lives. We're also going to be a light that brings light into darkness. And we need to be aware that when we walk into something, we could show up darkness where it is, show what's been hiding in the darkness, show some of those things. By the way, we live our lives. We need to live out in the open. We need to do some of those things. There's some, you know, I think it's almost like living with a high-vis vest on. I remember doing some car parking at a church event that was going to be very busy, and I had a high-vis vest on, and I was standing on the side of the road to direct traffic in, and every time I moved my arm, you suddenly realized people could see the high-vis vest. It worked very effectively, and people were slowing up thinking they were speeding, but Christians living in his light are like living with a high-vis vest on. You, every movement's noticed, everything you do, and it's bringing that into situations. And you look further, actually, Jesus says, if you're doing what I'm saying, you're family. And if you look beyond that, he's saying, actually, you're going to overcome situations. And you, so you think this kind of parable of the sower and how it flows through these next three passages actually shows... I think someone said the other day, it's almost like Jesus was training his disciples at the same time. And actually, there's some of that. He's training, saying, this is what's going to follow. This is what the kingdom's like. He's demonstrating the kingdom, and Luke is showing it to us, following a kind of thread through, I think.
Hmm. Yeah, it's just thinking about the adversities that we meet. There's a true saying that says, out of every adversity come the seeds of a greater opportunity. If we look for them, and here they don't, it's not getting overwhelmed with the difficulties that come your way, but as Faith said, sort of take a God's view, get up high and see the whole, and there are opportunities that come out of this, and a strengthening, and as he's training his disciples out of this adversity, kind of teaching of patience, of faith, and going into his what he's actually got for them to do after his crucifixion and resurrection.
That's spot on. I'm really enjoying the content coming from you guys this morning. It's really great. And I think what Faith's saying there about relationships, how that it's not about the battles, it's about the relationship with Jesus. Yeah, there's something right. of that flows through. But also, you know, this kind of, you know, sense of walking with him through thick and thin, bringing that light, all of these things. There's a lot going on. I'm noticing we're past time, and I've now got to go and get the tune from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang out of my head. Grow the roses, you know, grow the roses of success, you know. But actually, there's some of those kind of things where actually, with Christ in the boat, whatever adversity we're going through, whatever trials we're going through, we know there's success, there's breakthrough, there's goodness. He turns muck into beautifully smelling roses, and that's a fantastic thing he does. So I never thought we'd be doing Chitty Chitty Bang Bang on this, but there we go. Probably better close it up there and head our separate ways. But God bless you. Thanks for all you've brought today.
Thank you for joining us today. If you'd like to find out more about Hope Church South Bedfordshire, you can find out off our website, www.hopecentral.co.uk. Also, you may like to visit us. We meet at a lovely old church built in 1220 in Tillsworth, part of Dunstable wider area. And you're welcome to visit us. We meet at 10:30 in the morning, and you'd be most welcome to attend and meet us there. Or alternatively, you can find us broadcasting live on our YouTube channel, which is also under Hope Church South Bedfordshire. Thank you very much for joining us. Hope God blessed you loads.